I'm glad you guys are here tonight. I think it would only be fitting that we stop and take a moment to go before our Lord Jesus Christ and ask Him to bless our time. Father in heaven, I come before You in the strong name of Jesus. Thank You so much, Father, for the opportunity that we have to gather together as brothers and sisters in Christ, to worship in freedom, in spirit, and in truth, to look into Your Word, to learn from You. Holy Spirit, I pray that You would speak tonight with clarity, with power and conviction. I pray, Father, that Your will would be done and that You, Lord, would accomplish Your purposes tonight for Your glory. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Has anybody seen that new Dell commercial? I think it's targeting college freshmen. There's a guy kind of like surfing down his hall in his dorm. Have you seen that? That was me about 15 years ago. We were over in Muldrow, second floor. I know Casey Wells lives over there. And we got this bright idea that we could get a couple of slip and slides. We used to call them wet bananas, you know, the big long yellow, you know, pieces of plastic. We figured out a way to put two or three of those things together, and we got a hose that we stole from the groundskeeping people, and we ran it from a sink in one of the bathrooms, and we had this kind of little cascade of water going down the hall. And back in those days, the fire escapes, they didn't have the alarms on them, and that was actually the preferable way to get in and out of the dorms. The elevators didn't work most of the time, so you'd use the fire escape. So we just propped the fire escape door open, and all the water would run down the steps and outside. We were only on the second floor. And so we thought we were pretty smart. And you could get off on the elevator and take about five or six steps and slide all the way down the Muldrow second floor hall. And man, we were having the time of our life. We were laughing, building community. And then OUPD showed up. And all of a sudden, it just wasn't that fun anymore. And I just kind of laughing because I saw this commercial, you know, on about Dell, and I thought, wow, there's somebody else out there doing that stuff too. I wouldn't recommend trying that. That'll kind of put you at odds with your RA. But, you know, as we're thinking about starting the school year and maybe kind of pushing the envelope, you know, trying new things, experimenting, what I want to talk tonight with you is about this idea of what is the vision for your life here at the University of Oklahoma, the 4 or 5 or 10 years that God is going to leave you here to get an education. What else? You know, is it just about going to Dell Hall? Is it just about going to OU football games? As fun as those are, I believe that the Spirit of God has something more for us. And so I want to talk a little bit tonight about vision and about maybe an idea that God has for us contained in the pages of the Holy Book of Scripture, the Bible. And then I want to talk a little bit about being a reproducer, that if we grab this vision, if we appropriate it for our own selves, for our heart, and we're living and we're moving forward, how can we help other people get on board with God's purpose for us? So we don't, you know, the highlight of our college is not surfing down, you know, our dorm room, you know, hall and causing problems. And, you know, I hope that we would have something higher minded about where we're going and what we're doing. And so I've got tonight a video clip I want to show. And here's a man that needed a change of perspective, and I think you'll see what I mean.
I'm going to use you this morning for a bit of bus transportation. Welcome.
I told you I'd come back, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. You told me. Now, if you'd like to join in to the auction, we have some pretty fair homemade cakes and pies that you You're welcome to bid on if you want to.
We ain't here to bid on no cakes and pies.
What are you here for then, cowboy?
I believe you just better step out of there.
Damn, you're grounded.
Why?
Because I'm here to take that church of yours out.
No, sir.
I'm bringing it down. We don't want to hear no more.
Nobody goes anywhere, and that house of God stays right where it's at.
Amen.
All right?
Amen.
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 Now, what do you got to say for yourself?
You can say amen all you want to. It don't make me no difference because I'm taking that church out.
I'll tell you right now. See this?
Yeah, I see.
You see it?
Yeah, I see that book.
I open that to the 91st Psalm. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
Amen. Amen. Glory.
Amen.
Glory.
Thank you.
If you want to go to that church, you have to go to that holy book first.
Amen.
And brother, if you do, I don't want to sit where you're sitting right now. No.
Possible, maybe I'd better call the police.
No. Don't call the police. No. We and the Lord will handle it. Because he's going to strike you down on a Sunday afternoon like you've never been struck. That's a promise
amen.
I can make you right now.
Amen.
Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Glory.
Oh, don't you start threatening me like that. You move that Bible.
No, sir.
I said yes, sir. You move the Bible. I want you to move it right now.
I hear somebody say amen.
Amen.
Who's with us right now? The Holy Ghost, say it.
Amen.
Pick that Bible up right there.
I can't do that.
Thank you, Lord. Folks, stay right where it's at.
Hallelujah.
I hear somebody say amen.
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 Glory.
Hallelujah.
Let's say that we have Holy Ghost power here right now.
Oh, yeah. I can pick the Bible up myself. Don't stop to preach your stuff with me, all right?
No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Don't look at me like that. I know what you're trying to do, and you think I can be had, don't you?
Nobody knows that book. Nobody.
Well, I can move it.
Amen.
I can move it just as quick as you can.
No, sir. Everybody say, nobody moves that book.
Nobody moves that book.
Say it one more time.
Nobody moves that book.
And a third time.
Nobody moves that book.
And a fourth time.
Nobody moves that book.
One more time.
Nobody moves that book.
No, sir. Nobody. No, sir. I know why you came here. You didn't come here to knock my church down, did you? You came for another reason, did you?
No, I came to knock your church down.
No, sir.
Yes, sir, I did.
Well, you ain't going to knock it down. I want you to know that.
Now, folks, I just have a hard time. Let me see if I can position myself where I can hear a little better. And there it is, yes.
I didn't come to knock your church down.
Yes, sir. I know. That's why I'm kneeling with you. And I'll pray with you if you want me to. And I'll even cry. I'll do anything you want me to do with you. Because I know you're a good man. I know it.
Yes, yes. The young man's not nearly as angry. In fact, I believe he actually has a tear in his eye.
Amen.
As you reach out, the Lord will accept you here today. If you reach out, he'll accept you here forevermore. He will love you forever, even as we in this church love you now. Forevermore. Do I hear somebody say amen?
Amen.
This may be the very first conversion we've had over the airwaves.
Amen.
In fact, I'm quite sure that it is.
I feel embarrassed, but
I was a worse sinner than you were in that time. I was a worse sinner than you were. This is an incredible sight. I'm trying to be as quiet as possible, not to disturb this moment. This is an important moment in this young man's life. More important than even he can realize at this point, I'm sure.
Go ahead, brother, cry. I'll cry with you.
I'll cry with you. Does somebody say the Holy Ghost is here right now?
The Holy Ghost is here right now.
Say it again.
The Holy Ghost is here right now.
We love the Holy Ghost. Somebody say it.
We love the Holy Ghost.
Wonderful Jesus.
The victory is ours today.
Victory is mine.
Victory is mine. Victory today is mine.
I told Satan.
I told Satan.
Get thee behind. Victory today is mine.
Joy is mine.
Joy is mine. Joy today is mine.
I told Satan, get thee behind.
Joy today is mine.
Happiness is mine.
Happiness is mine.
Yes. Happiness
is mine. This is absolutely incredible. I don't know what to say. I absolutely don't know what to say. For those of you who know me, for me to be speechless, well, you better mark this on your calendar, folks.
Love is mine. Love is mine.
From a movie called The Apostle. Came out 7 or 8 years ago. It's a really good film. And you see old Billy Bob Thornton here. He's put on a little weight, you know, back and forth. You know, this is in his thick days. But old Billy Bob had a change of perspective, did he not? He came to bulldoze that old church and God got a hold of him. If you want to be a reproducer, if you want to understand this vision that God has for your life, I think it starts with a confrontation with the truth. For some of you, it's maybe like old Billy Bob, where you're in opposition to the most holy and high God. You're living a life that is antithetical to everything He teaches and shows us. And you are pushing away from a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so tonight is as good a night as any to surrender and give your life to Jesus and ask Him to take away the sin that's in your heart. And He will live there forever, and He will give you a hope and eternal life in heaven when you die. Others of you, you need to encounter another truth. And maybe it's you've been embarked on a life of selfishness. Yeah, you made a profession of faith, and you became a Christian when you were 8 years old, or, you know, at church camp when you were 13. But for the most part, you've been going through the motions and you have not set your eyes and your heart intently on pursuing Christ. Others of you have been playing the church game and maybe you're there every time the doors are open and every time the BSU is doing something, you've come on in. But you have not really surrendered your dreams and your agenda to the God who saved you. So you need a confrontation with the truth. And I promise you, when you're confronted with the truth of God, your eyes are opened. And I really think that's the role of the Baptist Student Union. I think our role as the staff, these upperclassmen, these ministry teams, is to help you connect with a holy God and with His plan for your life. And that you can see the dreams and the vision and the purpose that God has for you. Every single one of you. God has a special plan for your life. We have a very special vision that we believe is from the Lord. And that vision is to know God intimately, to grow and develop in a life that honors Him, and then to see the nations praise God in spirit and in truth, to intentionally invest spiritually in the lives of other people, and to make disciples. Jesus told us something in Matthew chapter 28. Verses 18 through 20. Familiar verses. You've heard this probably 100 times. Others of you, maybe this is your first time. Jesus said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." What is the greatest commandment? What is the commandment God has given us as believers, as followers of Christ? What is it? What is it? What is it? Okay, and do what with that? It's not a trick question. I just read the verse, okay? What is Jesus telling us to do? Go and do what? What's a disciple? A follower of Christ? A member of a group? Literally, in the Greek, the word disciple means a learner. We're to go and make learners. Learners of what? People that are passionate and learning and excited about knowing Jesus. And not only knowing Christ in a personal way, but their dedicated purpose is to teach all that they were commanded. Well, what were we just commanded to do? Go and make disciples. So they are radically and passionately pursuing this phenomenal vision of knowing Jesus intimately and helping everybody they possibly can, every man, woman, and child, every color, every language, every people, every tribe, to know Jesus intimately, to be a learner, and help others become learners, and others become learners. And we call that making disciples. Guys, that's an intentional task. That will not happen by accident. That's the challenge. And trust me, if you come to this ministry and you're part of those e-groups on campus or off campus, you're going to hear this again and again and again and again. The vision is to make disciples. This is not optional. Those of you that have studied some of the language, you know this is a command. It's an imperative. It's not an either or. It's not a maybe if you would kind of like to. But we are, every single one of us, if you surrendered to faith in Christ, you are under this command. Are you going to spend your years in college moving towards this or running after whatever you want to do? Giving lip service to this command and, you know, in your own time, in your own way, somewhere down the line, when I get married, when I settle down, I'll be obedient to this phenomenal commandment, this purpose of God for us. We'd like you to be a part of this ministry and build relationships with one another. We could grow as a family and we could move towards this vision of making disciples throughout the planet. That's the challenge. You know, there's a biblical mandate, not just Matthew 28, 18 through 20. You know, what's God's desire for us? Let me give you a few more passages just so you can see this is a consistent theme throughout Scripture. I don't want you to think I'm just cherry-picking one or two verses and then twisting them to say something that I want them to say. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. Moses leads off. Deuteronomy literally means second law or second sermon. And this is the last message Moses gave to the Hebrew children before they went into the promised land. Remember, they had blown it 40 years earlier. They'd said the land was full of giants. There's no way we can take this promised land. So what did God do? Okay, fine. Why don't you wander around here in the desert for 40 years? And why not that generation die off? Because they don't trust me. And then maybe a new generation will raise up and they will have a heart for me and for my law. And then we can try again and go into the promised land. So this is the new generation. And Moses is saying, okay, your parents didn't get the picture. Maybe you can. 4 through 9. Phenomenal. He is challenging us to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our might. Jesus is quoting that in Matthew 22, 37 through 40. He's quoting Deuteronomy chapter 6. These words shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them while you sit in your house, while you walk by the way, while you lie down, when you rise up, all the time. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on your doorpost of your house and on your gates. Every aspect, every area of your life was surrendered to this one thing, to know God and to make Him known. Fast forward, Ezra chapter 7, verse 10. I love Ezra. Guy was rowdy, okay? He was going into a situation where Israel had been decimated, 10 tribes were lost, scattered to the four corners. We don't even know where they are to this day. Judah had been subjugated by Babylon. hauled off into exile. Now, 70 years later, people were starting to trickle back into Jerusalem. The temple had been burned, the walls torn down. There was nothing left. The city was in rubble. And Ezra, a priest, a teacher of the law, went. He gave his life to these people because he had his heart to set on the study of the law of the Lord, to practice it, to teach his statutes and his ordinances throughout Israel. What was Ezra consumed with? Knowing God and teaching his statutes throughout all of Israel. They had to start over. Because of the exile, they didn't even have the law. They didn't even speak Hebrew anymore. And Ezra had to go back and painstakingly teach them the precepts and the laws of God. Ezra had a heart to make disciples. Let me give you one more Old Testament reference. Psalm 78, 5 through 7. Fast forward a few pages. We see the commandment to teach our children, verse 6, that the generation to come might know, even the generation yet to be born, that they may arise and tell them to their children that they should put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. If you go back and look over 5 through 7, you see five generations mentioned in these three verses. Five generations of making disciples, generation after generation after generation. So that why? That they would know the commandments of God. That they would know He is good and worthy to be praised. Okay, you see this throughout the Old Testament. God reaching out to His chosen people and trying to get them to figure out that if you will walk with me, if you will follow me, if you will obey me, and you will teach my precepts, if you will teach my law, if you will teach my commandments to everyone around you, you will be a success. You will have purpose for your life. Things will make sense. You won't be running around, running after your own heart, your own desires, and your own agenda. Your life will have meaning. Y'all get it? Am I making this up? Do you see it? Do you see it? Okay. You guys can talk to me. It's okay. I promise. Talk to me. It's good. We're just talking tonight. There's some more verses. Let me give them to you real quick. You go into the New Testament. Of course, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. What about Philippians 4, 9? Paul says, the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. Sounds pretty intentional to me. Doesn't sound like an accident. Doesn't sound like, okay, when I feel like it. Paul says, if you do these things, the God of peace will be with you. And then one of my all-time favorites, 2 Timothy 2:2. I'm sure there's a few of you in this room that could probably quote that verse. You want to try? Anybody game? Kevin? Wonderful. The things which you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to do what? To teach others also. The vision is obvious and it's clear. Intentionally, to know God, to walk with Him, to understand this vision for life, and then as everywhere we go, work, school, relationships, OU football games, everywhere, anywhere, all the time, to the ends of the earth, make disciples, share this vision, share the gospel, see people come into faith in Christ, to know Him and walk with Him in intimacy, and then to walk with Him in depth of character, hiding God's word on your heart, becoming more like Christ, and helping other people do the same. That's the vision. And if you come to this ministry, if you plug in with us, that's what we're doing. Now, we're going to have a lot of fun. Trust me. I'm all about fun. I'm all about fun. This is a great time, guys. This is the best thing you can give your life to do as an engineer, as a doctor, as a teacher, as a coach. Whatever God has called you to do, give your life to this. It will give your life meaning. Now you're being obedient to the purpose for which God has created you. You ever wondered why He left you around? You ever wondered why you're still here? This is why. Understand this. Embrace this. Do this. It'll transform your life. That's what we do here at the University of Oklahoma Baptist Student Union. I want to challenge you, if you're man or woman enough, to join us as we pursue this. Got another clip. Matt's been so good tonight working this. You're going to have to make a choice. If you want to embrace this vision. And we're going to see some men here that made some pretty tough choices as well. pretty heavy stuff, huh? That's from a series you might have heard about called Band of Brothers. It's a true story, series written by Stephen Ambrose, but it chronicles the life of Richard Winter, who was in the Airborne, and these guys jumped into Normandy before the troops hit the beaches. They were the pathfinders. Their job was to go in and mark certain sections of the land so the incoming troops would know, you know, if they were in the right place. Their job was to blow up key bridges and hold key intersections in the roads so that the troops hitting the beaches could move on up and attack into France. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what was going through their minds sitting in those planes? They had to make a choice. All these men were volunteers, okay? They volunteered for this. I think in a real sense, what I'm talking to you tonight, this idea of making disciples, of plugging in here, intentionally walking with God, knowing Him, embracing spiritual disciplines, developing godly character, that's going to take a choice. If you want this, if you say, all right, God, I want to be obedient to what you called me to do through the testimony of Scripture, you have to make some choices. And I can't make them for you. It's going to take courage. Immense courage to walk with God in the midst of persecution across the street, in your classes, maybe your families might think you're some kind of fanatic, a Jesus freak. Your friends might think you're not cool or hip anymore because you're concerned about honoring God with your life. Are you willing to make that choice? Are you willing to be strategic? These guys weren't jumping into Canada or Mexico. They were jumping into Normandy. It was strategic. That's where the invasion was. And Christians, it's the same thing. You're going to have to make some choices. Do you want to live a strategic life on this campus? Strategic with how you use your time. Strategic in your relationships. Even where you live can be strategic. Many of these upperclassmen in the room tonight, they're living in the dorms as juniors and, God forbid, seniors living in a freshman dorm. Why? So they can meet you, freshmen. They're paying extra money, 2 a.m. fire alarms, to meet you. Yeah. It's crazy, isn't it? That doesn't make sense. Those guys are crazy, too. But see, they've got a vision, and they're going to be strategic. They're going to make some voluntary choices, some sacrifices, so they can be in relationship with you. You just thought they were weird. No, they're there for the sole purpose of meeting you, freshmen, and engaging you with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Your college years are the most strategic because you're forming who you are. You're away from home, probably for the first time. And now you had the chance to decide, what kind of man or woman do I want to be? Make decisions in light of your objectives. What are your objectives? Well, I think I just gave you 6 or 7 of them biblically. Okay? Scripturally, our objective is to make disciples. What choices are you willing to make to embrace this vision? Are you willing to count the cost? Are you willing to jump into enemy fire, hostile territory, for the sake and for the purpose of this vision that God has given us, to know Him intimately, to look different from a lost world, from a culture that is totally opposed to the things of God, and to proclaim Him boldly in love to a lost campus across the street? See, there's a window of opportunity that exists while you're here in college. Most of you are single and will be single through your college years. You're going to have a lot of free time on your hands. Oh, yeah, I know you're studying. But if you think about it, you do have a lot of time now that is not going to be available when you graduate. There aren't spring breaks when you're working at your law firm out of law school. There are no such thing as summer vacation when you're a resident and now you're, you know, out of med school and you're waiting to go into private practice. You don't have those things. You don't have OU Texas weekend when you're working at the local bank and you're in management. Okay? Those things don't exist. Trust me. So what are you going to do with this time? Waste it? Minor in Sony PlayStation and intramurals? Or are you going to commit to being in community and walk with God and fellowship with Him? Pay a price to get plugged in here and get some spiritual training so you can be the man or woman that God wants you to be. On this film clip, they're headed for a drop zone, and they caught so much enemy fire that most of these paratroopers had to jump early. They missed their drop zone. They missed that window of opportunity. They were way off course. Many of them landed in marshes, in lakes. They drowned. One of the paratrooper units landed in a city where the Germans were just sitting there going, my goodness, are these guys so dumb that they would jump right in the middle of town? They were cut to pieces. They were machine gunned. They were dead before they ever hit the ground. They missed their drop zone. They missed their window of opportunity. You've got a window of opportunity here at the University of Oklahoma. What are you going to do with it? You're going to miss your drop zone? You're going to play around for the first couple of years and then get serious sometime later? I want to challenge you to jump when God gives you the green light, which is, guess what? Now. This semester. Tonight. To embrace the vision that God has for you and to be a reproducer. Can you imagine at the end of 4 or 5 or 10 years, however long it takes you to get out of here, that there are men and women that know Jesus Christ and walk with Him in obedience and are giving their lives to others, making disciples as a direct result of your life? Can you imagine? I want to put somebody on the spot. I've not asked them. I want Kevin McNally to stand up. Kevin, you back there in the back? Come on. He's very bashful. Kevin, you're getting ready to graduate, aren't you? When did you come to OU? August of 2000. So 4.5 years, not bad, 4.5 years. You know? If Kevin McNally has had a direct influence in helping you know Jesus, walk with God, develop godly character, go overseas, if Kevin McNally, in some form or fashion, either directly or someone that he has discipled, has built into your life, would you please stand up? Stand up, if you can. Now look, guys. There are 20 people standing up in this room. Because of Kevin McNally from South Texas. I remember when he came up here as a freshman. He didn't know what was going on. But he got serious. He didn't miss the drop zone. And look at the fruit of his ministry and his life just in the last 4.5 years. Thank you, guys. Bless you. That's just one man. I could turn right around and ask his fiance, Carrie Pinson, to stand up, and we could see the same thing with her. Let's do that. Carrie, why don't you stand up, honey? Carrie Pinson, I remember when she was a freshman. Amarillo, Texas. Ladies, if she has discipled you, built into your life, invested in you, challenged you, or one of her disciples has done that, would you stand up? I'm curious. Wow. There's probably people downstairs, too. I don't know. Wow. Wow. Thanks, ladies. These are two very unremarkable people. I mean, they're just normal people. No, listen. No, that's true. I don't want you to think that they're just normal people. Put their pants on the same way you do. But they got serious about knowing Jesus, plugging in and making disciples. And there's 40, 50 people in this room tonight that have been transformed because of them. God has used them. They didn't do it. God did it through them. They didn't miss the drop zone. I like that. That's cool. What's going to be said of you in 4 years? Who's going to stand and say, he touched my life. He led me to Jesus. She discipled me. She challenged me. She loved me. He taught me how to share the gospel. What's going to be said of you when you leave here? You got a degree? Great. Then what? Get a job? Great. Then what? Get married? Great. Then what? Have kids? Great. Then what? Grow old? Die? Okay. Nothing wrong with all those things. Good things. But I tell you what, if that is the sum total of your life, you missed it. You missed it. They haven't. That's just been in 4, 4.5 years. Got another clip here. The last one. It's going to take some work, guys. It's going to take some hard work and discipline to follow through on the decision to make disciples and to know Jesus intimately. Here's a guy that worked really hard too. I think you might know him.
Yeah. whole thing.
I saw that when it was in the theaters, and trust me. Wow. 1985, that's Rocky IV. Fighting the Russian. Deftly played by Dolph Lundgren. Dolph really had to step outside himself for that role. You know? You notice, though, Rocky, he's all natural. You know, he's working hard. He's running, he's lifting. Ivan Drago's taking the needle. Anybody see that? Man, that ain't right. That ain't right. Let me tell you something. Do you think Rocky enjoyed running up mountains and, you know, pulling up carriages with people in it just because it was something fun to do? No. He was training, wasn't he? He was working towards a goal. I think it's interesting. Did you notice that one scene where he's like upside down and doing the thing with his legs? His trainer's all covered in sweat and says, no pain. Like he's just standing there. What are you sweating for? Maybe it's hot in there. I don't know. But Rocky was working hard. He was disciplining his body. He was fighting. He was working towards the goal. What was the goal? Beating Drago. That's right. Beating the Russian, you know. God, American, apple pie, all that. He was disciplining, he was working hard for a goal. And I think usually where this vision breaks down, we're talking about is really knowing Jesus intimately, making disciples, really plugging in, being intentional, investing spiritually in other people. Okay, we say, okay, this is biblical. Yes, I want to do this. Yes, I want to be strategic. Yes, I want to make some choices that could cost me something. But okay, let's go for it. But then the discipline comes. And you know, you're in this rush of excitement and you're fired up and, you know, rah, rah. And now reality sets in. It's Monday morning. And the idea of getting up and meeting with Jesus before you go to class just isn't quite that appealing. It just doesn't feel as exciting as it did on Thursday night. Memorizing verses and hiding them on your heart Because Psalms 119:11 makes it quite clear that we're commanded to do that. And Joshua 1:8 says that we're going to have success if we do. There's a bunch of verses that tell us that, you know what? If we meditate on the Word and the law of God, we're going to be success. We're going to have a fruitful ministry. Well, that's fun for the first three or four verses. But just, I know that man, and I'm telling you what, he's telling the truth. Now, I have to admit, I might have... It does. And reviewing it, it's easy to learn it, but then actually keeping it in your memory is hard. Reviewing it day after day, for maybe every day for 6 weeks. Max Barnett says you review it 35 times a day, every day for 6 weeks. You willing to do that? To make sure you have a verse on your heart for the rest of your life? He said last week he wouldn't take $10 million for all the verses he learned in college. I know that man, and I'm telling you what, he's telling the truth. Now, I have to admit, I might settle for half that in cash. But, you know, the verses I memorized in college, I mean, I remember Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer you, and I'll tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. I memorized that my sophomore year. That's helped me out. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Woo! That's been a good verse. No temptation has overtaken you, such is common as man. But what? God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide a way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Fellas, particularly you fellas, that verse has gotten me out of many a scrape. Okay? I've only been out of college 10 years. And by the grace of God, there are a number of verses that God has put on my heart. And I worked hard to get them there and to keep them there. They've transformed my life. That's just scripture memory. Let's not even start talking about quiet time, prayer, evangelism, servanthood, all these fasting, all these wonderful, wonderful spiritual connections that we can make to really develop and deepen our walk with God and our ministry. Are you willing to pay a price? Are you willing to work hard and be disciplined to achieve a goal? A couple things real quick and I'll be done. In Matthew 7, 24 through 27, Jesus tells a great, great story. Matthew 7, 24 through 27. He says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them, well, he may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the wind blew and slammed against that house. And yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Remember the song you used to sing as a kid? The rains came and the... Jen, you know, my wife, she could sing it. You remember that in Sunday school? Well, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew, slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Well, guess what? The picture here is not two men, one deliberately built his house on sand, and one deliberately built his house on the rock. That's not what Jesus is telling us. Let me give you the parallel in Luke 6, 46 through 49. Turn over there real quick. Luke 6, 46 through 49. Here, we have a little bit better insight, I believe, in what Jesus was saying. It's the same story, okay? Oh, by the way, another verse I knew I shouldn't have memorized. But the guy that discipled me in college said, why don't you memorize Luke 6, 46? I was like, okay, it's short, I can do it. That's just one more I've got. Yeah, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? Luke 6, 46. Don't memorize that one if you don't want to walk with God, because the Holy Spirit will bring that one to mind a few times. Okay? Anyway, verse 47. Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts on them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house, who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when a flood occurred, the torrent burst against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who has heard and has not acted accordingly is like a man who built a house on the ground without any foundation. And the torrent burst against it and immediately it collapsed and the ruin of that house was great. The picture is a contrast between one man who was intentional, grabbed the vision, was disciplined, and built a house on solid ground, on bedrock foundation. But the other man built his house haphazardly. He didn't really think it through. He wasn't intentional. He wasn't trying to build a house on sand. It just kind of worked out that way. That's the picture. That's going to happen to every person in this room over the next 4 years. You're going to make a choice whether to build your house on solid rock, or you might want to play games, mess around, do your thing, and haphazardly throw something together to look more like a lean-to or a little tent, and it's built over quicksand. That's going to be the result. It's going to take hard work. It's going to take discipline. Think about it. Conforming your flesh to the image of Jesus, is that something that you innately want to do? No. To love people unconditionally, to serve when you don't want to give sacrificially, so somebody else can be a success and be supported and encouraged in their walk with God in ministry. Do you want to do that? No. We want to be selfish. We want to be proud. We want to take all the credit and all the glory. That is the default setting for us. So doing this is going to take hard work, like old Rocky here. But remember, the goal is not the work. The goal is not the discipline, any more than it was climbing up mountains in the snow. The goal is the fight to win. What are you fighting for? What do you want to win while you're here in college? Your time here. In closing, what can the result be? What's the possibilities of 4.5 years, 5 years, 10 years, 4 years, 3 years, however long it takes you to get out of here? If you commit to know Jesus, to make Him known, to get involved in the community we have here, to plug in, to attack some character flaws, to hide God's Word on your heart, to really put Him first. Yes, even above your school, guys. Because, you know, if you put school first, you'll exchange that for a job someday. Trust me, you will. Now at school, tomorrow a job, it'll always be something else. Put your relationship with Jesus first and knowing Him and growing. And then, Matthew 6:33 says, everything else will make sense. If you accept this challenge, if you take the commitment and you're disciplined, if you have this change of perspective, you can have a meaningful career that's fulfilling. You can have a phenomenal marriage with a godly woman or a godly man that has the same vision and heart you do. You can have children that will rise up and call you blessed. You know, not the spawn of Satan like we see running around some places. You know? Children that honor their parents, they're not consumed with themselves. Transform lives. Like that stood up earlier. Intimacy with Jesus. Fulfilling God's purpose for your life. And feeling His pleasure in all that you do. That's the goal. That's the purpose. That's the vision. So my question is, what are you giving your life to? Have you even thought about it? I want to challenge you. Give it to knowing Jesus. Getting plugged in community. I like this one. Getting some intentional spiritual help. You need some training. You don't have it figured out yet. Nobody does in college. Learn from a man or a woman that's older in the Lord that can help you grow with a vision to reproduce. How dare you learn and grow and develop and be so selfish and so arrogant as to not reach out to those around you. I want to challenge you. Just commit to stay in the dorms all 4 years. You think that's crazy? Who would do that? Well, all these upperclassmen have. I want to challenge you right here, right now. You pray about that. If money's a problem, ask God to provide. So that next fall, as a sophomore, you can be here waiting for freshmen, helping them move in, meeting them, challenging them, encouraging them, building into their life, making disciples. I mean, really, what do you have to lose? Some comfort? Some of your time? That's all going to burn up anyway. That's my challenge to you, to be a reproducer and to understand this vision of the life that God has for you. Before we get Andrea and Dan back up here to do some announcements, we're going to start tonight doing a voting registration. Major elections are coming up the first week of November. And you know what? The majority of college students don't vote because you just don't care. You don't think it affects you or applies to you. You know what? Shame. Shame. I'm not telling you who to vote for, okay? Please don't hear that. I'm just telling you, and I think I can. Be a man or woman, exercise your privilege to register and vote. Use your voice. If not, someone will speak for you. We've got voting registration forms here. Dan's going to be moving around. Get some guys to help you upstairs, downstairs. Get one of these. Fill it out. All you have to do is fill it out and leave it here on Holly's desk in the office. We'll send it in for you. And we're going to do this next week and the week after that. And I'm going to challenge you to register here for Cleveland County and to vote. You might think, well, I'm registered back in Creek County, or I'm registered back in Comanche County, back in Texas. Well, I doubt, maybe you might surprise me, but I doubt you're going to go back home and vote. You think, well, I'm going to do an absentee ballot. Well, if you will, that's great. But why not just go ahead and register here so you can vote here? And you can have a voice in elections that actually will affect your campus. Because there are state representatives and state senators that actually have jurisdiction over our campus. Don't you want to have a say-so? And who's representing you? I want to challenge you. Exercise your right to vote. I spent some time this summer with Omar in a country that is far from democratic. It's communist. Man, they'd kill to vote. I've been in countries where 2 to 3 million people were killed, executed. You know? They didn't have the freedom to vote. And bad things happened. I want to challenge you guys to do that. And I want to give you a little update, too. Some of you guys know that we've been getting a little bit of opposition from the campus. They've been trying to make a little noise about our student organization status. They tried to create some friction when we wanted to help you move in, freshmen, and telling us what we could say, what we couldn't say, what we could wear. And I want to just give you an update. We've had some people step forward that are attorneys and, you know, really keep their fingers on the pulse of this. And there are calls being made this week to general counsel across the street at the University of Oklahoma. And guess what? We do have the law on our side, and we're going to stand up, and we're not going to just sit by and let people dictate to us about how we can live out our faith. Do you want someone to do that for you? Do you want someone to tell you when you can pray, who you can share the gospel with, what you can say and when you can say it? Do you? I don't care what you think or what your convictions are. Do you want someone to do that? Well, trust me, that day is coming here. I'm not an alarmist. We've got a good friend, a brother in ministry at the University of Colorado. They have a free speech zone at the University of Colorado. In that free speech zone, you can share the gospel. You can tell people about faith in Christ. Outside of that zone, you know what will happen? They'll come and they'll take you and they'll physically remove you from that campus. You think, that's crazy. This is America. The college campus is where the First Amendment... Well, it's happening, guys. Political correctness and this inclusive idea is permeating everything. So if we don't stand up as a ministry, we won't have any voice on campus. If you don't exercise your right to vote, we're going to see it on a national level. Don't kid yourself. It's coming. Christians, stand up. Exercise your privilege to vote. I want to pray for you. And then we're going to have some announcements. And we got some great, I must say, I sampled a few, some great cookies outside. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I talked for quite a while tonight. I pray, Lord, that these students wouldn't be weary. Holy Spirit, that they'd be convicted by the truth of Scripture. By this vision. This phenomenal vision you've entrusted with us to embrace you with our heart, with our mind, with our soul. To walk with you in intimacy. To get spiritual training while we're in college, and to go and make disciples to the ends of the earth. To worship you in spirit and in truth, that there would be transformed lives the day that we leave this university, 20, 30, 40, 50, maybe just one, but men and women that know you as Lord and Savior and are walking with you as direct results of our faithful testimony and witness, of our commitment and our hard work and our discipline to pursue after you and persevere and to know you. And to make you known. Lord, I pray you challenge these students tonight to count the cost, to not miss this drop zone of the University of Oklahoma, and to take advantage of the options, the opportunities for training and for ministry, and that they could be the man or woman you created them to be for your glory. Lord, I thank you for tonight. Your will be done in the name of Jesus. Amen.